Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I am Rayan Walters, and this is Uncover Politics. It is my pleasure to have your company. You can now join the program on any platform of your choice at Uncover Politics on anchor.fm/Rayan-Walters. Uncover Politics on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Twitter at Walters Rayan, and on Instagram at Rayan.Walters, also on Facebook at Rayan Walters. Wherever in the world you are tuning from, I am delighted to have your company. Please also remember to like, subscribe, and share your feedbacks. This podcast is committed to providing you with a new experience, better understanding, and a microscopic view of politics in every sense imaginable. We are going to be discussing the political upheavals, tensions, success and their failures, and their everyday impacts on our lives from Europe, North, Central and South America, Asia, Africa and the Caribbean in just 10 minutes or less. Listeners, we'll be looking at the major development in the Middle East, more specifically in Afghanistan, recently with the mass and rapid taking over of most of the Afghanistan populated area, specifically, the Afghanistan capital of Kabul by the Taliban regime or the Taliban militant groups. You know, for the last 20 years or so, the Taliban has really emerged in the eyes of a lot of persons across the world as a terrorist organization that is geared towards provoking the West at all cost. The question we want to talk about today, or the answers we want to answer to the questions that a lot of persons have, is really, you know, who is the Taliban? What are they all about? The recent withdrawal of United States force under the President Joe Biden's administration has created a vacuum that was swept up within space of 2 to 3 hours by the Taliban, and millions of persons have plunged into complete turmoil, trauma, and the list goes on and on. The United States went into Iraq and Afghanistan 2001-2003 respectively. Two main persons on their mind: former president of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and the Al-Qaeda leader, Osama bin Laden, the mastermind behind the September 11 hijack of 4 American airlines, 2 of which flew into the World Trade Center and 1 into the Pentagon and another 1 on the outskirts of Virginia where it crashed following a fight between brave passengers and the Al-Qaeda terrorists. The Taliban arose in 1994 amid the turmoil that followed the withdrawal of Soviet forces from Afghanistan in 1989. The group was rooted in rural areas of Kandahar province in the country's ethnic Pashtun heartland in the south. And that should have been Pashtun heartland in the south. The Soviet Union had invaded in 1979 a proxy of the communist government of Afghanistan and eventually met the fate of big powers past and present that have tried to impose their will on the country. It was driven out. The Soviets were defeated by Islamic fighters known as the Mujahideen, a patchwork of insurgent factions supported by a US government only too happy to wage a proxy war against its Cold War rival. But the joy over that victory was short-lived. As the various factions fell out and began fighting for control, the country fell into warlordism and a brutal civil war. Against this backdrop, listeners, the Taliban, which with their promise to put Islamic values first and battle the corruption that drove the warlords fighting, quickly attracted the following. Over months of intense fighting, they took over most of the country. In 1996, the Taliban declared an Islamic emirate, imposing a harsh interpretation of the Quran and enforcing it with brutal public punishments, including floggings, amputations, and mass executions. And they strictly curtailed the rule of women, keeping them out of schools. They also made clear that rival religious practices would not be tolerated. In early 2001, the Taliban destroyed towering 800-year-old statues known as the Great Buddhas of Bamiyan, objects of awe around the globe. The Taliban considered them blasphemous and boasted that their destruction was holy. "It is easier to destroy than to build," observed the militant Minister of Information and Culture. There was a framework of a modern government, including ministries and a bureaucracy, but at the street level, it was religious edict and the whim of individual commanders that dictated everyday life for Afghans. They did not control the entire country. However, the north, where many of the Mujahideen commanders had taken up occupancy, remained a bastion of resistance. We realize that the United States did not went to Afghanistan to rebuild the country. They did not went to Afghanistan to bring democracy. They, when they were in power, right, the Taliban made Afghanistan a safe harbor for Osama bin Laden, a Saudi Arabia born farmer Mujahideen fighter, while he built up a terrorist group with global design known as Al-Qaeda. On September 11, 2001, the group struck a blow that rattled the world, toppling the World Trade Center towers in New York and damaging the Pentagon in Washington. Thousands were killed. President George W. Bush demanded that the Taliban hand over Al-Qaeda and bin Laden. When the Taliban blocked, the United States invaded, unleashing a heavy airstrike campaign and joined by former Mujahideen groups within the anti-Taliban Northern Alliance coalition. The U.S. and its allies soon toppled the Taliban government. Most of the Al-Qaeda and Taliban officials who survived fled to Pakistan. 20 years later, some of those same Taliban officials were among the delegation that struck a deal for the United States to leave Afghanistan, and they will number among the country's new rulers. With the shelter and assistance of Pakistan's military, the same force receiving heavy financial aid from the United States to help hunt down Al-Qaeda, the Taliban reformed as a guerrilla insurgents. The Joe Biden administration is really between a rock and a hard place. And the reality is, listeners, knowing your history of the Middle East, is that these people never give up fighting. They live to die. It's ironic. They live to die. And so it has cost the United States of America thousands of lives in terms of service members who have died on the battlefield. Hundreds of thousands of civilians have lost their lives. Last year, 25,000 persons died due to the ongoing war. And trillions of dollars. The country, for a short period of time, was enjoying the luxury of the West when they had their democratic elections. Female girls were allowed to gain an education. And the country seemingly were evolving to adopt some of the Western morals and principles of everyday life. With the withdrawal of the United States, in terms of combat boots on the ground, no doubt the country, the state, the world waits with bated breath as to exactly the future of Afghanistan and what will become of the Taliban in terms of their resurgency, and what threat is this to the West, in particular the United States and its allies. In our next episode, listeners, we will continue digging into the Taliban regime. What are they really about? We will look at what will the Taliban do next, and of course, at what will happen to the Taliban, or what has happened to the Taliban after their defeat in 2001, as well as what is likely to happen now that the Taliban's have once again overtook Afghan government and its states. Thanks for listening, and those are my thoughts.